There you go.
All right, we're here with the Living the Dream podcast with two members of one of our favorite groups, Midnight Spin, Mike Corbett and Danny Skull. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going? We're doing just fine. Good to see you or hear you.
Yes, yes. Is this your first podcast?
Yep, you're breaking the cherry.
All right, cool. Well, I'm not the most experienced myself here, so we'll see how we do together. But we've got an exciting set of things to talk about. We're going to talk about how the band is doing. We're going to talk about your upcoming show at Brooklyn Bowl. And we may even touch on the subject of hipsters. So it's a long night ahead. First of all, tell us about this Brooklyn Bowl show coming up.
Well, we are playing at Brooklyn Bowl, which is a pretty cool thing for us to be doing, I think. They asked us to, I guess the theme of the night is classic album night, so they asked if we were interested in covering an album, you know, from our youth or from back in the day. So we took a look at a couple different ones and decided on Who's Next by The Who, and we spent the last week learning it. It's really hard to play. So we just actually came from practice, and it's sounding better. I think we'll have it ready in time for Saturday.
Funny, but the Who is a band that you guys know pretty well, right? I mean, you cover Bob O'Reilly in some of your sets, and you guys have been playing some Who songs for a decade or so now. Is it the songs that you just didn't know that as well from the album? I mean, what's tricky about it?
It was a little bit of both, because sometimes, you know, we found out that, you know, there were definitely songs on the album we weren't as familiar with. But also, even the ones, like you mentioned, like Bob O'Reilly, and we played Won't Get Fooled Again at a few shows. You know, there's just little tweaks that, you know, you'd like to change a little bit. But, yeah, for the most part, I think the mellower songs were the ones that were the biggest change for us. But we actually, tonight, had a pretty landmark moment and nailed two ballads back-to-back. And it's actually a pretty big step for Midnight Spin.
Now, do you feel like since this is a album night, you've got to stay more true to Won't Get Fooled Again and Bob O'Reilly than maybe you do in the live shows?
We'll take a look at it, but yeah, we've noticed a couple differences. You have anything you're going to change? I think with those two, we pretty much just go all energy, all out anyway. So we might have a couple surprises in store, but the rest of the album, we've tried to be pretty true to you know, just learning it as it is and, you know, getting as close to what we hear as we can. So, but I mean, really, the whole reason we picked The Who is because, you know, Keith Moon's a maniac and it's fun to play totally out of control. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
How would each of you rank Who's Next in the top albums of all time for you personally?
For me, it's way up there. It's definitely in my top 10. I've only become a bigger fan of The Who in recent years, and actually, as you remember in that one documentary about them, The Kids Are All Right, there's one or two performances there that are just...
The one we saw before our circuit?
Yeah. A Quick One While He's Away. And I just, you know, I remember you and I watched that, and we're very impressed with it. So that kind of kicked it off for me as far as being a Who fan. Just the live show is nuts. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that is exciting to hear. I didn't realize that was such a landmark Who moment for you. That was a landmark circuit moment for me.
it was for all of us.
For all of us. For those of you who aren't familiar with us. Yeah, circuit is...
Circuit.
Yeah, a circuit is about a 25-drink tour around Dartmouth campus where you have a beer at each Greek organization on campus. It's a pretty wild time, and now that I think about it, I mean, it probably kind of was a major influence on Marathon Day, which has become kind of a tradition here in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Good time, sir.
Can
well, that's the Who.
The sorority's yard on Marathon Day?
I don't think there's any currently in the works, but if we find any, we'll certainly stop by.
That's not a bad idea.
So let's see. Let's talk about Midnight Spin though for a second. I check in on you guys, you know, in terms of how you're doing every couple of months, and now that I look at your website, it suddenly looks very full of accomplishments here. You guys were Deli Magazine's Best Emerging Artist in 09. You were top 10 bands to watch at CMJ, Independent Music Award for Trigger Finger Itch, on Jersey Shore, ESPN. So it sounds like, in some ways, you've had a great year. I know that there's probably more that you also wish you could have gotten done. I mean, what would you take me through some of the highs and the not as highs of 2010?
The highs and the sobers. I would say a personal high for me would be, getting that top 10 at CMJ meant a lot, just because it kind of reaffirmed that, you know, we are a New York City band, and people taking note of our live set is, I definitely think, something that we'd want to get out there as far as word of mouth going, that you really don't know our band until you've seen a show that we've played. And so for me, that was really great. And also, you know, just, yeah, like, Jersey Shore is cool, but at the same time, you know, I think just, you know, being able to get more and more people to hear about our live shows is, you know, definitely something that's on our checklist. But as far as a low point,
I would say for the lows, we probably have to go back a little further to when we first started the band back in, you know, 09, I guess. 09, 08.
Yeah.
When we first moved up to New York a couple of years ago. And, you know, any band trying to get off the ground, you know, it sucks living in a music studio and, you know, in the dark and where it stinks and being poor all the time. Like, those are the lows. So it's been it's been a lot of fun since then. But I think if there's one thing we're really excited about in the future, it's just that we haven't put out new music in a while. We put out an EP 2 summers ago, and it's done some cool things for us, but, like, you know, we're ready to get the ball rolling on the next project, and we're writing it now, and hopefully recording it in the very near future. We're actually meeting with producers and studios and things right now, so we're just real psyched to get the new songs out, you know, now that there's a little bit more of a spotlight, a very small spotlight on us. But
absolutely. And if you feel like, I know that getting signed is a much trickier art than it used to be probably, you know, 15 or 20 years ago. What's the relationship between trying to nail that down versus just finishing a really good, you know, first album on your own budget? I mean, what's really the model these days? Is it to come to a record label and say, look how great this full album is? Or can you really not do that without a label behind you?
I'd say the model right now is that there is no model, and that's what makes it really, you know, kind of an interesting time in music right now. It's all up in the air. There is no right way to do it right now, and
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we've been approached by some labels and talked to a few people, but I think our plan for this next album is to record it ourselves without anyone telling us what it should sound like or, you know, what they want it to do or what the single should be or anything like that, and, you know, as a finished product, maybe then take it around to a few labels and see what they think, and, you know, I think there's a few of them paying attention to us to see what we do here anyway, so, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot right now. There's really no right or wrong way to go about it at the moment.
Okay. And I want to ask you, as I mean, I've known Mike for a couple years now, Danny even longer than that. So you guys, to me, embody the kind of fun, free spirit, Maryland ethos, you know, got the surfer thing going on and the rage, and you guys are down with sports. How does that all fit with the image of the band now as really being a Brooklyn band, given that especially Brooklyn, the part that you guys both live in and have lived in for a couple of years, is really associated with the Bedford Avenue hipster scene and stuff like that? Does that feel like your scene now, or is there such a thing as that scene? Is it just a stereotype people kind of throw at Williamsburg?
I think there's a little more Maryland in Williamsburg than people would first notice, but, you know, and sometimes we still feel like we're trespassing, but I think that that's also a good thing because it gets us out of our kind of comfort zone, so to speak. But, you know, we've definitely taken some Brooklyn attributes on. We've always been dirty, but, you know, I think now at this stage we're a little more worldly. We've got a little more in tune to you know, just other scenes going on, and, you know, just the excitement of New York City is just something that, you know, when you put a band in a city like New York, you're really just kind of putting the band in, like, the most fertile city you could be in, which I think is really good for any band starting out to be in a place where there's shows every night. You know, we could play a show on a Thursday night for free and have tons of people that we don't know come by and check out our band, which might not be the case in a Maryland suburb.
Mm-hmm. And what's been, and so seeing getting outside of that bubble, what are some of the things that you learned from your first, last year was your first national tour, right?
Indeed, yeah, we did a short 2-week tour when we found out we were being added, when In the Air was being added to Fuse and MTV rotation. We said, let's get off our asses and leave the East Coast. So, yeah, we went out to Chicago and then looped back to New York City and hit a bunch of cities in between.
Excellent. All right, so I guess when's the next Midnight Spin show beyond Brooklyn Bowl? Where you guys will be showing everybody some of your new songs.
The rock show.
We got about 5 shows next week, but
we got a mini tour.
Yeah.
Right.
But let's see, we're playing 2 nights in Delaware and then a night in Philadelphia, and we'll be back. We're back in New York.
We're playing Park Slope, the Rock Shop, on May 16th. It's a free show and. They offered us a gig with a couple of artists, and there's going to be a 3-person camera crew there making a live film of the show. So that'll definitely be nice to have. And
nice.
You know,
what night of the week is that?
It's the happening Monday night venue.
The Monday night Parks Wilkes thing. Get into
it. Okay. That sounds fun. I wished on a weekend that you could probably get a crazier live video, or at least I know I would bring it harder. But,
yeah, man, I think people ham it up. We trust you would.
I'll do my best on a Monday, nevertheless. Now that to turn things away from Midnight Spin to the greater musical world, Danny, I know you've been a little slow to vote in certain times, but Mike, you were pretty into the music tournament down the stretch. What were some of your thoughts on Benny King's victory over Queen, Bowie, and Under Pressure?
I heard it on the radio today, and I heard it. I was on the Metropolitan and Roebling at the intersection, and it's a beautiful song. It's one of those tunes that I think kind of, if possible, kind of slips through the cracks in our generation a little bit, just because it's just it's just a pretty vulnerable song, and it's not a party tune, but it's in all ways a classic song. I thought it was worthy of winning, just because you can't really knock it in any way at all. It was a worthy winner.
Excellent. Well, as you may have seen, we've got the People's Choice Music Tournament coming up this summer, where all the voters of the music tournament are going to nominate their own songs. So I'm sure you'll be throwing some pretty good ones at us. With however many picks you wind up getting. It's kind of a formula based on how often
you vote.
How does
it work? Do you do like a lottery for picks?
Well, actually, Guillermo's going to go through, and he's going to give, there's going to be 256 songs total, and Guillermo's going to give 8 picks to the 16 most regular voters, and then 4 picks to, I guess, the next however many voters, and then 2 picks to people who voted very rarely. So that's why I estimate that you'll probably wind up with about 4 picks. And then you seed them yourself so that your one seed doesn't have to go up against another one seed, hopefully,
nice.
In the first round. And whereas your 4 seed probably will. And we're just going to roll from there. And it's going to be fun because no songs that were in the last music tournament are going to be allowed at all. So it'll be a lot of songs that people aren't as familiar with. So it'll probably be a much more diverse set of songs. And I think we'll all learn a lot about... a lot of that different artists that we didn't know before. That's why joint music tournaments are usually fun, is because you get to learn a lot of new tunes. You know, when you're doing the greatest songs of all time, that's not really the case as much. But,
right.
Yeah, certainly this time around.
Very cool.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, I was going to say, I was thinking, I have 8 picks, and I was thinking of throwing a Midnight Spin song in there. You know that I'm partial to Animal, but would you say that... when you guys see me rooting for it there at the live shows, I mean, do you objectively feel like I'm crazy, or is Animal one of your top songs?
It's definitely one of my favorite ones. I like the way Danny plays the drums in the chorus, or in the little lead break, and I think, you know, that's one I definitely am excited to get into the studio proper. And no, it's great to have people at the shows who, you know, didn't hear a song on, you know, Teen Mom that, you know, we one of the first songs we wrote and to get really excited about. That's always awesome.
And I would say that you liking that song did not, that was not my first indication that I thought you were crazy. No, but that's one of our favorites. It was one of the first ones we wrote, and it may or may not feature as a re-recording on our new album. We might pick one or two songs we've already done to record them, you know, in a real studio and, you know, with a real producer this time. And that one, that was in the running, so might end up on a new album, too.
So I guess last comment, we have our – we're all – tight with Kittens Ablaze, who have their own show coming up this Friday, May 6th. Are they playing Mercury Lounge again?
They are. 9 p.m.
They are. They are. Be there. I mean, that's going to be a fantastic show, and there just may be some theatrics involved with it. And I was thinking, if we're going to let you guys can have this, this will be the last question. If I was thinking one mega song that Midnight Spin and Kittens Ablaze could do together, Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runner. Is that the craziest idea? You got your strings and your rock and roll.
Yeah, dude. We'd crush that. That'd be great.
Tura Lura.
Tura Lura, indeed. All right. Well, any last thoughts, boys?
Let's see. Who won the games tonight?
Boston looked weak again, and Miami just took them out. So Miami's up 2-0 now. And I actually got distracted from the Oklahoma-Memphis game watching highlights of Larry Bird and Chris Webber and Michael Jordan. So I think Oklahoma won. They were up like 15. So, yeah, you can
talk about it. I like how Chris Webber gets thrown into that trio.
Well, the reason is, actually, because Christina and I were watching the TNT halftime show. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but Chris Webber has a tendency to get really baked right before those shows, in my opinion, at least, because there will be halftime shows where Kenny and Charles are doing their thing, Ernie's trying to announce this, and Chris Webber is just laughing hysterically, sort of off camera, and can't get a hold of himself. Like, Barkley will tell one joke, and he'll be done for the entire halftime show. And so Christina asked a valid question, like, why is this man on television? And I said, well, you know, he used to be quite good. And it just, she seemed skeptical, legitimately so, because, I mean, you know, he seems to be a stoner who doesn't talk much about basketball as an analyst. So so I had to show her how good T. Webb was in his time during those Sacramento King days and whatnot.
He was phenomenal, man.
Yes, a great passing forward, so that's definitely something you can appreciate.
One of the biggest blunders in Washington Bullet history.
What was the blunder? They had Webber, and then what happened?
The blunder was not having Webber. I don't know. I mean, you know, they just needed a post presence, and then they haven't. They've been trying to get a big man ever since, with Kwame Brown and now Andre Blatch, and you know, nothing's really panned out for him. I mean, Weber's just like such a dynamic dude that, you know, I don't know. Like, the whole offense runs through him over in Sacramento. So, you know, and they just, you know, they get the guys that smoke the weed but aren't as good as Webber.
Right. Well, you know, curses will follow you forever, man. That's the lesson that, you know, the Knicks have learned for sure.
Did Derrick Rose won MVP?
Derrick Rose did win MVP. Yeah, I think LeBron's playing with an extra kick in his step because of that. You know, the playoffs have been great. You know, the Mavs Lakers game last night was ridiculous. Yeah, basketball is just in its prime right now. In fact, Mike, I don't know if you've heard, but Danny is agreed at Crocodile Lounge the other night to join Fantasy Ball for next year.
Yeah, I was hammered. I completely forgot about that.
What did you do?
Fantasy basketball. I don't know how it works, but I'm willing to learn.
Nice. Oh, the Thunder won tonight.
What?
The Oklahoma City won.
Yes, yes.
One up.
Go right. Thunder. Be a super sign.
Indeed.
All right. Well, we should have a basketball rock and roll podcast on a regular basis. I like the mixture.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we're good to go. Since I've kind of forgotten how this all started. Oh, yes. This all started with Brooklyn Ball. Okay, yeah. What time should people get there?
We're on 10.
Yeah.
The first band is a band called Black Forest, and they're doing the Neil Young album, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, which is another one of my favorites, and they're playing at 9. So I would say if you got there at 8 p.m. and had a couple pints, you'd be in a great mood for three really good bands doing three really good albums.
Absolutely. Van Halen, right?
Yeah, Van Halen's closing out tonight with 357 Lover. They're going to take a crack at it. I think they're going to do a great job.
Excellent. Well, just to let everyone know, Brooklyn Bowl is a great venue. It's got a bunch of different beers, definitely worth getting there early. And if you get there and you see a big line, it's actually full of idiots trying to get bowling alleys at prime time on a Friday. So what you do is you go around the line and walk all the way to the front where there's nobody waiting to see the bands in the line. So then you just pay your $5 to get in, and it's that simple. So I know the line kind of throws you off when you get there. But hopefully we'll see everybody there at 8 p.m. on Friday night. Oh, wait, sorry. 8 p.m. Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah.
May 7th.
All right. Rock on, guys. Great talking to you. We'll do another podcast down the road.
Take care, Mr.
Was everything
Mark,
you thought it would be?
It was everything and more.
Wonderful. Have a great night, guys.
Late enough. See ya.